Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. This is Grant and Danny. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Tomorrow, we are out and about.
Uptown Alley in Manassas. Been there a couple times before. We will be there again tomorrow. It's so delightful. You can do whatever you want. You can bowl, obviously. There's like a whole arcade, huge bar, plenty of tables, big old space, great food, and some fellowship. There's no football game to talk about specifically with your pals. We're talking about this weekend. So just a nice, my feet is up, get to know your boys. Let's high five and eat some wings.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And a lot of football to discuss outside of D.C. with us getting ready for Week 12. We'll take our first look at the weekend in our final 90 minutes here, taking you up to 6:30 tonight. Did you see that Netflix released the analysts and hosts who will take part in their Christmas Day coverage?
Oh, I did not see that.
So it's a lengthy list. They're spending a lot of money, as you would imagine, including, by the way, a bunch of celebrities. They have just like special guests. Bert Kreischer is involved. Betty's going to take off his shirt. Am I right? That'll be hilarious.
That at the roast of Tom Brady. One of the best jokes that Nikki Glaser did, it, I think, went over a lot of people's heads. She goes, "Bert, I love you. Bert's one of my favorites. I'm such a big fan of your joke."
Yes, that was funny.
I mean, this hand to this knee, I was guffawing at that one.
Well, I, like everybody else, when I first saw Bert Kreischer was in on the bit, I was like, this is funny.
The machine. Good.
And then it just kept happening.
Yep.
And then it kept happening, and it's still happening, and it's just kind of the same thing. He's got a note, and he plays that note. Really, really well. A lot. But anyway, he's involved. I think Tom Segura is involved. There's like just random musicians, comedians, whatever. But the notable name, the guy that stood out to me that is on that list, who will be at the desk providing analysis ahead of and after, pre and post, the Commanders and the Cowboys, is Austin Eckler, running back of the Washington Commanders. I found that to be fascinating. What do you make of that? This guy that is still on the team. Now, when you're on injured reserve like he hasn't been in the building. He's nowhere near the team. But I'm sure he calls them up and says, "Hey, guys, what do you think?" And they go, "Yeah, no problem. Enjoy." He, who knows, could be hanging him up, could be retiring. He's certainly at the age and the injury history now and coming off of a brutal injury like an Achilles. May have played his final game. I don't know. Might want to come back. We'll see. But regardless, there's a broadcasting career waiting for him. You guys heard him on our show for a couple of football seasons. He is as sharp talking the game and just as eloquent a wordsmith as you're going to find in the league. So if he wants to be on television wearing a nice suit, he's going to be able to be. And this is a nice foray into that. But he's still technically on the Commanders, and you're going to have him at the desk. It's a great idea for the network. Are you surprised at all the team that is so guarded about everything that gets out and everything that's said is going to allow that?
I thought it was interesting and noteworthy, and I was surprised for the same reason you were. Now, I'm not. I've seen people be upset about it. By the way,
who's upset?
You know, you get the occasional fan or you know, folks with strongly worded tweets here and there, which not necessarily
cares
real life.
That?
I'm just saying it's not something that I'm upset about
They're
at all.
Upset at him or the team?
Yeah.
Or Netflix,
so like,
or who?
No, him being like he should be there with his teammates. I'm not sure what they think is happening because you're standing there on crutches, be like, keep going.
I don't think he's been at a game yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he is recovering. You know, I don't even think he's local right now. And I know what I know of him right now through his wife's Instagram. Who I follow, and she's basically Instagram famous. She was the one in the Netflix documentary with her sister who was in a cult. Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I still haven't watched that, by the way, which is unbelievable.
Seriously?
It's gotten buried in the queue. I just reminded myself I need to move that up.
You should check it out. But, you know, they're always doing different things or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're back in Denver, best I could tell. It doesn't seem like they're spending a lot of time here.
Yes.
And that's not the expectation, by the way.
No.
Until you're far enough along in your rehab that you're working with the training staff and you're in the weight room, which I don't think he is with an Achilles. They just tell you, see you when we see you.
Yeah, that Achilles ain't nothing you can do. This isn't a pulled hamstring. We need to be in the pool and the cold tub and the hot tub. And this is one of those, you're not walking, dude.
Not to mention, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm 99.9% sure on this. He signed a 2-year deal. This is the second year. So he is a pending free agent anyway. So when you've got an injury that takes you to the end of the football season and to free agency, there's a little bit less of a, hey, we need you in the building, we need you around. Which isn't to say he wouldn't sign a 1-year deal to try to come back with Kingsbury in this offense and be a leader next year. It's possible that could happen. But that's a very, very serious injury at his age that could end up meaning you're never going to be the same, and maybe you start going, okay, let's try on this shirt and tie and see how the TV thing works.
He's not coming back this year, so that's not there. This is, and you've seen this before. I know people kind of scratch their heads, like during a bye week, for example. Like if this coming week, it wouldn't happen this year, but if Terry McLaurin was healthy and was having a good season, during the bye week, he is on CBS for whatever reason as a special guest analyst or whatever, right? You've seen that before. It's a little unusual. It's not my favorite thing, to be honest with you, but, you know, if these guys want to, you know, sort of build their profile. You're not hurting anybody necessarily. You're not giving away state secrets. You can provide some good analysis and get your name out there and do well for yourself by all means.
So can I say, you say it's not your favorite thing, meaning you don't like it on a binary. I love it, kind of.
I don't love it, but I'm not angry. I'm not like pissed off about it. I just kind of go, it seems a little odd to me that's what you're doing, where it's like, it just feels like there's something else you could probably be doing that's more constructive, but you're not hurting anybody. You're putting a suit on and sitting in the studio, whatever.
So we go separate on that one. If you're talking about a bye week,
yeah,
absolutely build that brand. As a young guy, it would have meant the world to me to see one of my favorite players sitting on the set getting exposure for my team. And yes, it's about you and you're building your brand and you're trying to get your name out there. And it's not really about the Commanders, but they are tangentially benefiting and they are secondarily, you know, the second hand exposure is the team. If you're putting on a good face and talking shop, if you're Terry or Austin Eckler, you're making the team look good. So they're going to say yes on the bye week.
Yeah.
But this is, you're still on the team and the team is playing a game and you're working the game. I'm happy for Eckler, because again, I think this should be, if this is the way he wants to go, the beginning of something. I think he could be a rock star. And he's not like a, hey, let's do Commanders television here for a couple years. This is a guy that if he wants to sit next to a McCourty brother on the NBC set with Florio and you know, whoever else, Diana Taylor for Football Night in America, looking sharp as a tack. He could do that a year from now. I really believe that.
Yeah. I think the answer is yes, by the way. Could he do that?
Maria Taylor is who I'm talking about.
Diana Rossini or Maria Taylor. We can play.
I think I went to school with a girl named Diana Taylor.
Well, shout out to Diana Taylor, by the way.
Yeah.
Hope she's well.
Don't know what she's up to.
But the point of the dude's story is, he could write his own ticket. Whatever he'd like to do, he could do it and do it very well. If you want to start another business and have that thrive, you can do that. You want to, you know, probably take my job. He could do that. His site should be set a lot higher, to be frank with you. And he should be on national television doing really well.
You're like, Austin, you don't want this job.
It's so beneath you, buddy.
Your site should be higher.
Aim way higher.
Afternoon drive in D.C. You don't want this.
Yeah, do afternoon drive in like L.A. or something. Way bigger. Anyway, the point is, he can do whatever he wants. I have no issue with it at all. And some people I've seen irritated by it. If there was a chance he was coming back, right? If it was like he could, and the season wasn't off the rails, and even then I wouldn't care. But if there was a chance he's coming back in a couple of weeks and he's taking a break to go do it, I could maybe see a point of view. But this is like,
oh, if he was 4-game IR for a pec strain or, you know, a hamstring,
right?
Like if it's Terry like a week ago on Sunday Night Football set, yes, that's different.
Right.
1,000%.
And again, I don't know if I'd even be mad at that, but like,
I wouldn't be mad, but I would say this is not a good use of your time. That would be my take, is let's not worry about television in the middle of the football season.
Yeah.
But A, your season is over and has been for weeks and weeks and weeks. And B, it is possible that his career is over.
Yeah, if he did everything humanly possible to work and like went to some weird experimental place to get a certain kind of platelet inserted and all sorts of other crap, he's still not playing football this year for the team. Just the way the injury happened, the time it happened, he's done. There's no chance he's coming back. So right now, this is just Austin Ekeler, the person. The football player does not exist. He has no responsibility, as far as I'm concerned, to the team. Some people don't believe that, and they're like, he should just be around helping people. And I'm kind of like, eh, I don't really see that. You're not playing. You're not here beyond this year. Take care of yourself, and that's what he's doing. So yeah. I don't really have an issue with it.
So I'm not going to speak to these mystery people. Like, if nine people on Twitter saying something matters, we could do that every single day. Here's the thing the eight people on the fake website that isn't real life care about. And that's not really my point. But I guess my interest in this is solely in the teams agreeing to have him do it. My perception of the way that they operate over there is that they are super buttoned up with all things broadcast, right? Like, if you're involved, you're in the group, and we're kind of marching to the same beat of a drum, so to speak. So for them to just have a player go join Netflix on national TV, maybe they know in Eckler's case, he's so sharp and so cerebral. See the interviews we did with him. Never going to put his foot in his mouth. Never going to say anything that makes the team look bad. And that's probably, as I'm talking myself into this now, what it was Austin's going to do nothing but make us look great. So go enjoy yourself on Netflix. And maybe they wouldn't have said yes to everybody. You know, if a young guy who's on injured reserve, who's out for the year, who's not as polished on television and speaking.
Do you think they had to give him permission? Or do you think it was written in somewhere?
1,000%.
Do you think it was written in somewhere to his contract that I can do these sorts of things if I want to?
In season? No chance. I don't think. Like,
well, because he wouldn't be doing it if he was playing
right.
2 days later.
Of course. But also because of that, you're not writing into your contract that you're able to do. I guess you're saying like he could go out to Fox. Like, why would he put it in his contract?
Well, I just mean like, I'm just hypothetical. I have no idea. You think there'd be a clause, if I'm invited in week 12 during our bye week, I'm allowed to do the ESPN pregame show?
I guess it's possible, but I think this is 100% a thing where you need permission.
You need permission.
It's the you're previewing and breaking down, I'm using air quotes, because I don't think they're going to have him giving any state secrets away. But you're going to do, you know, they'll have him in front of a board going over the tape of Bill's runs or something, if it's produced correctly. They'll have him talking about Jaden Daniels or Mariota, who's ever at quarterback, and going over the plays and what's worked and what hasn't. Like, you're going to tap into his expertise. He can't do that without the team saying, yeah, we got no problem with that. I don't think. And also, it's just the right easy thing to do. I mean, you and I can't just go start a podcast without talking to the boss, right? Like,
right.
This is a pretty big deal. I mean, 30 million people are going to be watching you on Netflix talk about the Commanders.
Just like 30 million people a day listen to our show?
Very similar.
Similar thing.
And then vote on Facebook.com/Grant and Danny about Commander Survivor. Also, NFL story here I wanted to talk about. The league's taken a victory lap, as it should, on the success of international football games and the number of fans that have been traveling and watching the international standalone games, and they continue to win off the field in this regard. Madrid was a smashola. Everybody seemed to have loved the presentation, and the week long went very well for everybody over in Madrid. I saw that the NFL is monitoring very closely hypersonic travel, and that they are basically hoping/thinking that if hypersonic travel comes along fast enough, that it could be a game changer for what they're able to do internationally, including... The story doesn't say this, but my guess is maybe a team over there all the time.
Have a team.
So I'm thinking hypersonic travel, what is that? Is that what it sounds like? And basically the idea is that there is this company, Boom Supersonic, and countries that are all working on the potential return of passenger flights that can fly faster than the speed of sound. I say the return because apparently for 25 years, the Concorde. This is written by Mike Florio. Slash travel time from the United States to Europe. It's been permanently grounded, and they're working on bringing the technology back. So what was the Concorde exactly?
It's hard to explain unless you saw it. It was such
I'm looking at a picture of this from Air France.
With the nose tilted down like it was sad.
It looks like a paper airplane, honestly. Yeah. Like how you would fold a piece of paper to be. It's like wings are kind of wide. It looks like a faster jet plane, so to speak. But is the idea, he said, for 25 years, the Concorde slashed travel time for the United States to Europe. Nearly 25 years ago, the Concorde was permanently grounded. So that means right around 2000, from like 75 to 2000, you could go extra fast to Europe on this thing?
Yes.
And how quickly did it get you there?
I don't know the exact times. I know it was similar to what you're talking about, five times the speed of sound, or I think they would go four. I don't remember
what
it was.
So it's like a 7-8 hour flight, now three or four?
Cut you down about half, yeah. I don't remember everything that happened with it, because it was a little bit off my radar, so to speak, but it was like, at one point, the electric car was the future in like the 70s and 80s. They're like, this is what we're going to do, and then it just went away and died, and nobody paid attention to it. And then it got revitalized. Same deal with the Concorde. The Concorde was going to be the thing. It's how everybody was going to go everywhere all the time, and then it just wasn't.
I don't think I'm interested in that, in traveling on that plane. I mean, how many years of that successfully without issues would you need in the hopper before you're willing to put your butt in a seat? You're not doing it in week one of the relaunch. I can tell you that.
Right. The first flight's not me.
Are you doing it a year in?
Also, the cost got to come down because there was a cost issue.
Well, I'm sure.
I think there.
But 6-7 years in, are you happy enough to do it there?
Yeah. Okay. By that point.
Reading from Florio in Pro Football Talk. By cutting the flight time over the ocean in half, the Concorde allowed Phil Collins to play in both London and Philadelphia during the two-city Live Aid benefit. Would that have been in the same day?
Yes.
So if you cut London and Philly in half, that's like 6 hours becoming three, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He said the NFL would have one less impediment to the possibility of putting a team or two or four in Europe. See, this is where you're going to lose me. It's always been, could they get a team there? And most people don't want that. Now it's, could they get two? Could they get four? And if you have the hypersonic travel, it cuts down on people saying, I don't want to travel back and forth. I don't want to go over there for just games. I don't want to live over there full time. Andrew Beaton wrote a story about this in the Wall Street Journal. Beaton notes that although the NFL has no firm plans to put teams in European countries, the league has, quote, been keeping a close eye on the momentum behind commercial supersonic flights. How many years away are we from this?
So this is what's, I didn't, outside of this, the NFL talking about it, I didn't know that. I read something a couple of weeks ago, just like, hey, remember these things that went away that are now kind of coming back as, and again, the electric car was one of them that I'd sort of forgotten about. There was all this hype when I was a kid that this was going to be the future, and then it just went away for whatever reason for decades until we started again, and now the, you know, EVs are everywhere. There's a bunch of stuff that wasn't that we're going to start looking back to, like, or this guy was hypothesizing. It was about nuclear power because it went away. Everyone was so scared of the Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and all the different meltdown stuff. Now it's like, hey, maybe this is the best way to do some energy.
And
or whatever.
Some of it becomes more efficient. You get
and that's the point. It's better technology, better everything.
And you build it out.
And
the
supersonic travel / the Concorde type stuff. Now, again, with all the technology that's better than it was 50 years ago when they were doing this, maybe it's more practical. Instead of $2.1 billion, which in today's dollars is probably like $30 billion, some of the investments and all the overruns, maybe now it's going to happen.
The issue of supersonic flight is something that first hit our radar screen last June. While the decision to go truly international brings with it many other challenges, tax rates, exchange rates, governmental fluctuations, willingness of players to leave their families behind for multi-week American road trips, eagerness of players to even live and work outside of America, he says it would greatly reduce travel time, and that would make this whole thing a lot easier. Can you imagine if supersonic travel opens up the possibility for the NFL to then have two teams overseas all the time?
Because that's what they're waiting on. Just a way to make it happen so that a West Coast team that had to play over there, because eventually you would.
Yeah.
East Coast, not a big deal. A three-hour flight's a three-hour flight. That's going from New York to Miami. That's not a big deal.
I've said all along, I don't think it'll happen in our lifetime that there's teams over there. The more and more games internationally, and they just can't help themselves. There's too much money. They really don't care how unpopular it would be in the States with all the fans and people like me and you. They're not concerned. They're not interested.
Because they know
they've
got
us.
So what that Miami game in Madrid was just another game on television with a slightly different backdrop to me. For 99.99999% of their audience, that's all it is. It's a television product. Now, they need people live and in the arenas. But for everybody else, it's on TV. And wherever you put it on the moon, you put it in Kansas, you put it in Canada, you put it in Madrid, you put it, you know, in Antarctica, which they're going to do probably in my lifetime. Cool beans. I'm watching the damn thing. But that doesn't do anything for me differently. It's like being able to grow new fans over there, to have the Madrid Toby spend 500 euros on a sweatshirt that says Miami and Washington
on
it.
Toby, you just got back from Madrid, and you said you would love to go to another one of these international games. Has your opinion changed on having a team overseas full-time?
No. It's an American sport. It should be played in America, except for the occasional one-off sort of deal.
You're cool for the vacation trip.
Yeah. Like, Super Bowl should never be played overseas.
I agree with you, but it's going to that
they're
one's going to happen.
Oh, they're doing it.
I don't even think that one's that far off. I think that could happen in the next 7 years.
Like Wembley 2033.
Yeah, I think the travel's too unrealistic and all those sorts of things. It shouldn't be a team outside the U.S. unless you were talking like Toronto. There shouldn't be one in Europe.
Even if and when ultra-fast planes return, Florio writes, there's an issue of size. Listen to this. So the traveling party for NFL games is normally around 200 people on a plane. He says these boom supersonic planes that they had and that they're talking about having some version of now would carry 60 to 80 people. So teams would need to charter
two or three of them.
Or more.
To bring everyone over, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, potentially, like, you could need four of these things.
Maybe, like, the regular staffers go on a normal plane. Like, the players go on for the recovery. Maybe. I don't know.
But even you'd still need two for coaches and players.
Oh, totally.
At minimum.
Totally.
So, is that practical? I don't know. But as tech changes, like, this is the thing about saying never, is when we talked about this 5 years ago, at no point did I in that conversation in my head go, well, you know, if there's planes that cut the flight in half, and now instead of a 7-hour flight, it's really only 2 hours and 57 minutes or 3 hours and 14 minutes. Well, now it's on the table because we'll have this hypersonic thing that goes faster than the speed of light and everyone's going to be comfortable getting on it because it's safe. You just don't think about that. And 6-7 years later, here we are. Now we're thinking about it.
I can place a bet on my phone. I never thought I'd see that day. Like, I went my whole life where any mention of gambling, you had to pretend that you weren't talking about it, or you have to know someone on an island with no extradition. Like, any mention of gambling in sports was, the mafia's going to come get you and break your legs. Now, it's ubiquitous. Every other commercial is about sports gambling. And it's here. The point is, I will not say never about stuff.
Would you pay twice as much to fly this way across the country, though? I might. You know how... So, like, I've never paid to be first class.
Yep.
But there's you catch me on the right day, I could see myself doing it. If I had a little money in the bank, it's a terrible travel. It's middle seat or, you know, 6 hours to Seattle or something. I could really break down and say, you know what? I'll treat myself. It's one flight. Could you pay more to go in the right circumstance?
Yeah, it's got to be the right circumstance.
I'm flying from Seattle to DCA. It's $685 more dollars. Instead of $700, it's $1,300. But you're going to get there in an hour and 56 minutes or something.
That's tempting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Tomorrow, we're at Uptown Alley in Manassas. Our first trip out to Manassas for a field trip Friday this football season. So if you're in the area, come on by and kick it with us. Andrew is in Stafford, wants to hop in. We were just telling you that the NFL, which is very excited about all the success it's had internationally, now they're headed to Paris, it sounds like, is the new spot next year. They're monitoring hypersonic travel because they think as the technology gets back to a point where they can cut European travel in half, maybe it gives them an opportunity to have teams there full time. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Good, buddy.
So more, I think this would have to come first, would probably come first, and is more interesting because it doesn't require everything to go to Europe. But doing this domestically, like you were talking about, you know, Miami to Seattle or vice versa, and all of a sudden you erase the narrative around, oh, you know, this team doesn't travel well, or minimize that narrative. I think that would be a bigger difference.
Oh, you mean
it's a smart point.
NFL-wise, like not travel domestically, just you, me, Danny. You're saying all of a sudden the Rams coming to play a 1 o'clock game in Landover is not as big a deal. That's actually a really good point.
Exactly.
You kind of end that narrative with to go up, they got to travel east, it's 9 a.m. for them or whatever. That's no, not anymore.
And I just think to that point, it's not something we think about a whole lot, but the game does change in the sense of just what we know, the data, the technology. You think about like the Capitals and back-to-backs. They're playing tonight.
Yep.
There was a time many years ago where you'd leave after the game at a certain time, you'd travel this way, you'd get into the hotel, and we didn't know what we didn't know. Now, some teams leave the next morning and just stay at home at night and go straight there for the game. And there's so much science involved. Teams have sleep coaches and, you know, these sports psychologists, and they're interacting with the GM and the coach to say, hey, I think we're at a point where the guys are being pushed a little bit. You know, let's tamp down and do this. We just know so much more in every regard. So in the same way that he's talking about, I think there have been major changes to travel already compared to how teams went West Coast, East Coast, or vice versa 15, 10, 12, 18 years ago. 10 years from now, it is going to be night and day different.
Yeah, everyone got irritated at Chip Kelly, and I understand that because I think he was so abrasive, but he was at least trying to do something different. I don't just mean with the no huddle and unbalanced lines. I mean with the way that people practiced and recovered. And he was trying to use data and sports science and those sorts of deals. They would practice hard later in the week than everybody else would and had different off days. And that was at least based on trying something in that regard. And that's what it reminds me of. But if you can, you know, it was always the, you're going to deal with altitude. When do you go? Do you go 2 weeks early and try to set up camp and get used to it? Or do you fly in and fly out at the last possible second and never get used to it and just sort of get on the boat and go? You never knew. But now you get these sort of tools to eliminate some of those variables and you maybe take some of the guesswork out of it.
So I want to go back to my question. I would not be comfortable doing this early on. Anything that is kind of new and pushes the envelope a little bit and advances technology that is, in my opinion, dangerous is just not going to be for me in the early going. I'm way too conservative in that regard. I'm not jumping out of a plane. I'm not bungee jumping. Like, there's just a lot of chances I'm not going to take. I'll eat too much bacon, and that's why I'll die one day. And I won't take care of myself in terms of, like, my food proclivities. But I'm not going to increase my chance of dying in other, like, thrill-seeking ways. When would Danny Ruye be comfortable going hypersonic? If today's the first flight, how soon would it be before you go, someone's buying the ticket for you, you're getting on the plane?
When the cost comes down.
I'm saying someone's buying the ticket for
me. I know, that's my answer. Because it's now so ubiquitous and so not crazy that it's just normal. When it's normal, it's affordable. The big screen was a novelty. I'm old enough to remember those giant projector screen situations that weighed 400 pounds and were off balance, right? And then all of a sudden the flat screen came. The first flat screen's like $5,000, and then four, then three. Now it's like $250 for an 80-inch monstrosity. You can just take it if you buy a burrito. It's to that point with TVs. Once the cost comes down, it tells me that it's routine. That's what I need.
We've got a media member picking a fight with an NFL quarterback in the MVP mix next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Tomorrow we're at Manassas's Uptown Alley. We will see you out there for a live show on The Fan from 2 to 6:30. Coming up in our final segment, we'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football. We will also make our picks for Week 12. Confidence Points Picks time is looming about 15 minutes out. We'll go round the horn, get the update on the standings, and see who we like, who we don't like this week in the NFL. We got ourselves a little media versus player standoff. People are saying these two guys are at odds. That's not really what's happening. A player said something, and then a media member called him a liar and is basically trying to seemingly get him to respond.
Provoke,
attention. I don't really know what's going on here, but we're going to workshop it. So Drake May was on WEEI, our sister station in Boston. I guess they have him weekly, or is that a semi-regular thing? Do they? That's awesome. So the starting quarterback of the team, Drake May, is on EEI every week. He's doing an interview with them, and they ask him about Cam Newton. I haven't heard what Cam Newton said, but apparently he thinks that because the Patriots have not played very many difficult opponents, because Drake May is the quarterback of this team that has had a Charmin soft schedule, which is true. You know, maybe there's a little too much cart before the horse analysis on May on New England, and they're getting too much love. And EEI asked him about that. This is what May said on the radio.
You're familiar with this guy, and he played for the Patriots. Cam Newton said the Patriots are fool's gold. That was his words, not mine. Do you hear those things? Do you react those things? Any comment on that?
Oh, no. I don't even know what show he's on. You know, I think they get paid to make remarks and make certain comments. So, you know, just worried about what people in our organization think and worried about what we think and my teammates think. And, you know, everybody's going to have different opinions. So we should go out there on Sunday and worry about ourselves.
That is a harmless comment. That is a way of saying, I'm not paying attention to what analysts are saying about us. What I think, what Mike Vrabel thinks, what in the building we think, that's what matters. I guess, as you'll hear in a second, Stephen A. Smith took great offense to that. And other people maybe have as well. But I didn't take that as a slight at Cam Newton. I think he's just saying, hey, I'm not a consumer of that content. I'm unaware of even, you know, what show he said it on. That's the first time I'm hearing this.
So Genesis is, now this is Cam Newton's job in this case. Person is critical of you. How do you respond to that? I don't know. I don't really have a response. I don't really know what show he's on. I don't really care about that. So I'm not being critical of Cam Newton. I'm not responding in kind. I'm not saying, look at his completion percentage when he was in New England. Nobody did that.
Right.
So you see what I'm saying? Like, one is, again, insult is, it's not a personal thing.
I think it's a mature professional response.
Cam Newton is being critical, which is part of the job. And Drake May's response is, I'm going to defuse, disarm. I really don't have any interest in any kind of feud. We have to play some football. It's really hard to win. That's it.
By the way, if Cam Newton's point is the Patriots play a easy schedule, that it's a soft collection of teams they've played, he's 100% right. They have played two pretty good teams in Buffalo and Tampa Bay and beaten them as well. But in winning 10 of their last, I guess 9 of their last 10, whatever it is now, they have played a very, very easy schedule. No doubt about that. And that is the main critique. I've said it. Paper Tiger, you know, vibes here from New England. A lot of people have. I don't have a problem with that analysis necessarily. But the questions asked. As a player, I'm trying to give you an honest answer. Hey, man, we're not concerned with what's said outside the building. That's the answer you've heard from players 1,000 times. Yep. Now, if you want to say it's a little different to say, I don't know what show he's on, I really don't think he's trying to take a shot at Cam Newton. I think he's trying to say, I'm not a consumer of that content. I'm not scouring the web for Patriots takes. But seemingly that became an issue because Stephen A. Smith reacted this way on First Take with Ryan Clark pumping up Drake May and how well the front runner for MVP in the NFL is right now. Listen to what Stephen A. Smith had to say.
He can run it, he's tough, he's poised, and he's absolutely dynamic in the pass game. And this team, under Mike Vrabel, can win the AFC Championship.
He's also a liar.
Mm.
He's also a liar. First of all, let me tell
you. Did you hear the crowd? It was like a gasp. It was like, it's just a funny reaction.
Because they're like, it's normally not this way, but they're live at some location.
Are they? Okay, so there's a crowd
there? For whatever reason, this particular show is in front of a crowd.
Okay. So it's a live crowd.
Yeah.
And their reaction when he says this is basically to be shocked. They're like, he called him a liar, which is, that's a pretty big word.
Yep.
It's four letters. I guess it's not that big. It's two syllables.
It's a heavy word.
It is a heavy word. Like when you know what people don't love? If you just walk up to someone and be like, you're a liar.
Oh,
I don't
think
they're going to take it that way.
Thanks, man. Have a great day.
It's not on the list of things you don't want to call people in terms of like what is not allowed to be called. But no, because there's terrible words, right? There's things that you're like coward or I don't even know. There's worse words than liar, I would think, you know? But liar is that's one of those character challenging words. But anyway, play Stephen A. Smith again.
The AFC Championship.
He's also a liar.
Mm.
He's also a liar. First of all, let me tell you, it's not to brag, you know, listen. Pardon the Interruption is the number one show on ESPN spanning 20 plus decades. First Take is the number one morning show, 13 years and counting. April will be 14 years. Don't tell me you are an athlete and you don't know that. Don't tell me you are an athlete and you don't know that Cam Newton ain't on the show. You're lying.
So a couple of things there. If Drake May said, I've never heard of First Take, that would be a condescending comment and not true, probably. I don't think you can be in and around sports and not know what First Take is. Or if he said, I've never heard of Stephen A. Smith, I don't know what network he's on. Maybe even I don't know what show he's on. Because even though it's a shouty show that I don't watch, I could tell you Stephen A. Smith is on First Take like everybody else. My wife might be able to tell you that. She's never watched 1 minute of it. He's very famous, very successful. But that's not what Drake May did. Drake May said he doesn't know what show Cam Newton is on. And Stephen A. Smith takes great issue saying, if you're an athlete, you should know that. Don't tell me you don't know, you're lying. All I do is consume sports content. Let me explain something to you. Literally, I am listening or watching sports shows, podcasts, streams on my phone for probably no less than, if I had to guess, 6 hours a day, which is a lot when you consider I'm on the air for 4.5 hours, right?
Yeah.
I've got four kids at home. Like from the time everyone goes to bed till bedtime, I'm either watching a game, which I'm not even counting, or I'm watching or listening to a show where I'm trying to consume information that makes me smarter. I've got a collection of shows that I really, really like. Now, it happens to be for me that one of these shows is not a shouty show. One of them is not First Take or whatever one Skip Bayless is on now or whatever's on Fox Sports with Barstool. Like, that's not part of the rotation for me. I have my own rotation. Danny, as much as I consume this stuff, I had no idea Cam Newton was a regular occurring person on First Take. I had no idea. But the idea that someone who's an athlete because they work in sports is lying if they say they don't know Cam Newton's on First Take, like what a incredible comment that is.
Number one? Based on what?
I think he's saying the number one show on ESPN in the morning, as it is the only one that airs.
Yeah.
That helps.
You beat the other ESPN shows for the time slot? You get outdrawn by SpongeBob, dude. People watch your shouty show clips, and that's how you make all your millions, is you say something inflammatory, start a feud with someone, people will air that, and then they talk about it, and it's the fuel that burns the engine. ESPN's decided to go all in, and God bless you. You've been very successful. You're more successful than I'll ever be. Number one? Not in terms of eyeballs live on you. That's a lie. You want to call someone a liar? There you go. That's a lie. That's incorrect. That's wrong. They've had rating surges at times. There have been good moments for the show, certainly, but it's not particularly well viewed in terms of normal daily viewership. And they've struggled for years to figure out how to do it. And they decided what we'll do is we'll clip up inflammatory nonsense, play it throughout the day, flood the zone and social media, and get people talking about you're feuding with athletes. You're a jackass. How's that for an inflammatory line? What are you doing, guy? This is not Kevin Durant who's going to go back and forth with you in the media for 9 years. This isn't LeBron James who's going to see you courtside and step to you and have a little tete-a-tete. This is not one of your former coworkers that badmouths you after they left, from Kerry Champion to Skip Bayless to everybody in between. Skip's a horse's ass in his own right, by the way. And if he said something, I'll plenty for him, too. Nobody watches your stupid show.
Skip might be the league leader in horse assery.
He's probably the one seed.
I don't think Stephen A. Smith has to have a couple of more good seasons to catch up to him.
Skip
on the
is AP
list.
And coach's poll number one.
But I like the monologue. Like, that's strong. Good takes. All the way around. I feel like Jim Rome, good take.
Solid take, racket.
I like that.
Excellent take.
I think we're bearing the lead here. Like, yes, it is insane. He's always seemingly trying to pick fights with players or whatever. But I just want to go back to the merit of the point. The ego you have to have.
And that's kind of where I'm going with it. I didn't round it off.
Like, imagine
I didn't hit the dismount.
If I said, when I met, I'm trying to pick a commander, but like John Bates. I bump into John Bates at Five Guys in Ashburn. And John Bates says something like, I've never heard of the show or whatever. And I'm like, we've been number one among sports in afternoon drive.
On 106.7 The Fan.
On 106.7 The Fan from 2 to 6.30. Like, what? I mean, you don't know that our regular guest is Bill every Tuesday at 5 o'clock? How could you not know that? Because people have lives, dude.
Like,
because this guy, when your show is on, is in the building already. Because he's supposed to, because he's a quarterback. He's not. You think he's DVRing First Take? There is zero chance. He's just sitting there watching First Take at what? I don't even know what time it airs. 9 a.m., 10 a.m.?
Sure.
8 a.m.?
Honestly, whenever Greenberg's done.
But it's just one of the most insane things in the world to say.
It's so arrogant.
He is a liar. There is no way you can be an athlete as if that means you watch First Take. You cannot be an athlete and not know Cam Newton's on this show.
Sit there with bated breath waiting for Stephen A's roundup from the night before. Nobody cares. No one cares. A couple people take your stupid bait, but like, it sounds like I'm joning, and I suppose I am. But back in the day, as a sports radio consumer, before this radio station existed in its current form, you know, I'm listening to 980 like everybody else, and I listened all the time. I don't remember which one the sports reporters was, or which one the sports fix was, or which one was the sports fix coaches show. I could never tell them apart. I knew all the people. Oh, this one's Brian Mitchell. Oh, this one's John Thompson. Oh, this one is Zabe in the afternoon. You figured it out, but like, if you ask me to recall on the spot, I'm not going to remember. Drake May's working when you're bloviating. Drake May, during prime First Take or First Shout show time, is in the building grinding out some tape or going to a meeting or getting rehab done or practicing football to be really good at it. What do you mean you don't know who we are? Everybody knows who we are. Yes, I can't get away from you no matter what. But the idea that someone doesn't remember that Cam Newton sometimes is a panelist on your shouty show, the indignity. I mean, get over yourself. ESPN's crowned you, and it's gone to his head, obviously.
Right.
But my God, man, know your role. The sports will take place. If you get a sniffle and are off air for 2 days, they'll still have games.
I just, again, I'm the wrong person to, I guess, assume that I'm the norm on this. Because I don't watch any shows regularly on NFL other than like ESPN, their NFL live show, or I like, like the matchup that they do, a couple of the tape shows that they have on their app. I'll watch that. I'll watch the primetime with Berman and Booger, a couple things like that. But I'm not locking in on any show, except maybe PTI if I flip past it when it's on. FS1, I don't know what their lineup is right now, but I'm not watching. I'm just not the audience. I don't sit there at home. I'm in the car, or I'm listening to pods while I'm doing stuff around the house. That's kind of like where I'm at this point with my consumption. But if I don't know that Cam Newton is on that show regularly, I've seen him on there for sure. I thought he was a guest. I had no idea.
Yeah, I've seen him sitting in on, I feel like, a number of places. Sometimes like,
I'm not suggesting I've never seen him sitting next to Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. But if he's every Tuesday or every Monday or whatever, I didn't know that. A player should know that? How dare you not know that? You're a liar if you say you didn't. To me, that's just a crazy take. Crazy take.
Yeah.
Wild. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.